Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening, I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS, a special night. I'm actually board hopping and producing the show myself tonight for the first time, so we'll see how this solo flight goes. On today's show, Ingham County being ripped off by the mortgage industry. How can that be happening, and what can officials do about it? I'll talk to Register of Deeds Curtis Hertel Jr. about that. And the 2012 auto show season kicking off today in Los Angeles. I'll be joined by the Director of Design at Cadillac to talk about the 2013 XTS, which was unveiled today, and we'll talk about what else is in store for Cadillac. But first, the state's smoking ban in public places has been in effect for about a year and a half now, and while the American Lung Association continues to applaud the ruling, many bar and restaurant owners are not so pleased, saying that it continues to hurt their businesses. To talk about it, I'm joined by Stephen Mace, the Executive Director of Protect Private Property Rights of Michigan. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Thank you, Michael. How are you?
Very good. You know, it seems that any initial drop-off in sales for bars and restaurants due to the ban would have occurred during the first several months after the ban. What's been happening over the past year? Have owners been seeing continued drop-off in patrons, or has it been just a steady level of low attendance at their establishments?
Well, it's been steady for many since day one. Primary negative impact has been on small bars and taverns, your mom and pop places, local community bars, neighborhood bars, and whatnot. They've seen a steady decline. Our organization recently compiled data from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission's website, and discovered that year to date, basically on year over year and previous year's sales during the height of the recession. Since the ban took effect May 1st, 2010, that 41% of licensees in the state are reporting decreases in purchases by 10% or more. So that could be up to from 10% up to 90% up to several even closing.
Well, 10% is a hit. Anything greater would certainly hurt. I mean, are businesses having to close down, or are they at this point still able to survive?
Well, there's many that have actually closed down. We've actually compiled a list that we have on our website, available on our website, where we've confirmed with owners. Our organization, myself personally, and members of our board, members of our organization have attended closings. One that comes to mind in my local area would be Four Greenfields Irish Pub, which was in business for over 31 years. And the smoking ban, the impact of the smoking ban was just too much of a financial burden to wait out. For the promises that the prohibition lobby, they make prior to bans being implemented, such as it's not going to hurt anyone's business. It's going to be great for business. You're going to see all these people you've never seen before. And that just really doesn't ever quite pan out. And we've learned that from places that implemented bans prior to ours, such as Ohio, our neighbors in Ontario, and New York, California, many other states. The small bar and tavern owners and workers, their opinions are just discounted by way of the insinuation that they've just all of a sudden forgotten how to run their businesses.
Well, proponents do say that that any negative impact on bars and restaurants is due to our struggling economy. They say the ban itself is not the cause, but I'm guessing that your viewpoint is it's the ban and not the economy.
Well, they've drawn from that trough one too many times. It's starting to make them look a little ridiculous, kind of like their blanket claim when they're pushing for the ban, such as it's not going to hurt anyone's business. The economy, they cited that in 2003 in New York. They cited that in the 90s in California. They cited that in Ohio in 2007. It always seems to be the economy. There always seems to be some other reason that the ban has an impact. The point being that prior to May 2010, every single business owner in the state of Michigan was promised and assured by the American Cancer Society and their political action committee, this is not going to hurt your business, this is only going to improve your business. And then once May 1st hit and time goes on, the excuses seem to repeat themselves once you start to communicate with bar owners and associations in other states. It always seems to be the economy. And I personally believe they've drawn from that well one too many times.
Now, state lawmakers are the ones that instituted the ban and passed the law to go into effect. Now, they would have to be the ones to change that. Is there any sense on your side that they are going to take some kind of action, or are they even considering that?
There are several bills out there that need to be raised at the committee level to open it to public discussion. It was the passing of the ban was more or less, when it comes to the general public, was done behind closed doors with the armful of promises by the prohibition lobby. And we're hopeful that lawmakers will see that nine times out of ten the bar owners are not proponents of tobacco use by any means, and this isn't advocating tobacco use. It's simply the fact that tobacco is a legally sold product in the state of Michigan, and the inherent choice should remain that of the private property owner. And we're hoping that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle will wake up to the fact that the price tag to this ban thus far is getting well over $200 million in losses to the state lottery, to alcohol sales taxation. And it's becoming a very, very, very big deal very quickly, and hopefully they'll wake up to that.
I'm talking to Stephen Mace, Executive Director of Protect Private Property Rights of Michigan. Is there any known example of a state passing a ban and then reversing itself?
Yes, this past summer, the state of Nevada actually had a voter-approved law or a voter-enacted law where it went to a referendum or a ballot issue. And they took notice of the massive financial impact it was having on small taverns, small mom and pop taverns. And what they did was corrected the wrong. And now smoking is permitted in places where the owner permits it, in 21 and over establishments only, which generally are, alcohol only service establishments. So they did correct their law this past June.
I know there's this proposal to allow for an enclosed smoking room or smoking area. I'm guessing that probably has a better chance of being instituted than reversing the ban. Is there any progress on that proposal?
None that I'm aware of yet. There's a lot of talk about it. It's not going to be supported by our organization. You can't tell a person who has a 15-seat bar to build a separate smoking room where are they going to build it. Many don't even have property to build patios. Really, at the end of the day, these bars and taverns, whether the prohibitionist lobby likes it or not, they are private property. Everyone has the right to go in or leave if they want. No one's being forced to go inside. No one's being forced to work there. The smoking room will work in large corporate establishments where they have the finances to build them. Now, and that's not going to do anything for the small guy.
As you know, the idea behind the ban was that workers were being exposed to smoke and had no voluntary way to avoid it since it is their workplace. Do you agree with the general premise that all workers should have a smoke-free environment, though?
I believe workers should have a say in it, and our organization actually took it a step further. The Cancer Society's PAC have gone to great lengths to give the impression that they speak for Michigan's workers. We couldn't find any data saying that they actually do or they've ever been solicited to speak for Michigan's bar workers. So what we did was, starting last July, started collecting letters from Michigan bar and tavern workers and giving them their say. And we delivered hundreds of letters to the legislature stating that Michigan bar and tavern workers actually were opposed to this law because they're losing their income. They're losing tips, they're losing hours, and losing their jobs.
At this point, though, there is no direct or expected action to be taken by lawmakers by the end of the year?
Not that I'm aware of at this time. It's more of a cover their eyes and cover their ears kind of situation, hoping the problem will go away. But if Ohio, our neighbors in Ohio, have taught us anything 5 years later, the problem hasn't gone away and it's not going to go away.
Stephen Mace, Executive Director of Protect Private Property Rights of Michigan. Thank you very much for joining me, Stephen.
Thank you, sir.